Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Customs and Border Protection CIO Rod McDonald. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of IBM's Homeland Security Services. Rod, in the previous segment, you talked a little bit about enterprise architecture as part of one of your goals. How is enterprise architecture, how are these efforts supporting the modernization process at CBP?
Yeah, enterprise architecture is really central to our modernization efforts. For us, the enterprise architecture defines our as-is. It defines our target, where we want to be with our technology. And it also represents our plan for how do we get there. With ACE, with the ACE program, it really gave us an opportunity to put that enterprise architecture in effect because we had a clear requirement, we had a mandate to do it, and frankly, we had the resources to let us move towards that technology base. So in many cases, ACE is really an example or a model for us of how we want to modernize the rest of our IT infrastructure and our application systems.
The obviously, many organizations within the federal government are pursuing this area, but what lessons can you provide other government leaders in the area of EBA?
Well, we're all learning as we go. So I don't want to say we have the answers, but a few things, and one I've already alluded to, is to make sure that the enterprise architecture is real and it's something that's operational, that the people are actually building the systems can understand, and that management is really using it as their direction and their source for how they make decisions regarding technology. I think another thing that's very important, though, is the as-is. You have to know where you're coming from because that's your real challenge to modernize and move the enterprise architecture. So while you need a target, it's very important also for that enterprise architecture to reflect the as-is. And I think another thing, which maybe should be obvious, but the enterprise architecture has to have that business reference model, that understanding of the mission and how the enterprise architecture, how these technology solutions really support the overall mission strategies and how specifically technology strategies can enable the mission. And again, what I bring this back to is when you have that components, you then have an enterprise architecture that really drives how you build technology day to day.
Aside from EA, over the last few years, there have also been a number of other federal government initiatives, including things like lines of business and centers of excellence. Can you speak to CBP's involvement in these areas?
Well, most of our involvement with that has really been through the department with my role on the CIO Council, working with Scott Charbo, CIO and the deputy CIO, Charlie Armstrong, who we know very well, who came from CBP. And we really have a great relationship with the CIO's office and with the CIOs. And a big thing that we've done with the lines of business has been focusing on infrastructure. The Office of Management and Budget, I think, rightly sees the sort of economies of scale, streamlining, and ultimately cost reduction that can be gained from departments consolidating their IT infrastructure. We supported the department with this, and now they are using a steward approach for how to move to a consolidated infrastructure. There are five projects: consolidating data centers, consolidating to one network, consolidating email, moving to a consolidated help desk, and finally, consolidated video conferencing services. CBP was picked as the steward for the consolidated data centers and the consolidated network. And we are actively working that. And I think that's really the key thing and where there's the biggest bang for the buck for the department, and certainly CBP is going to gain from that also.
Rod, on this show, a recurring theme is often about collaboration. I can't think of any areas where collaboration and partnerships are more important than in port security and border security with a number of participants in those processes. What type of partnerships are you currently developing for the exchange of information in those areas?
You're exactly right. Partnerships are key to everything we do. And really, let me focus on the cargo area and the ACE program because I think it really illustrates the same approach we're taking across the entire CBP mission. First, the international trade community. They're an integral part of the ACE program. We have a trade support network that we meet with twice a year, as well as working groups that meet much more frequently. All the segments of the trade community are represented there: importers, exporters, brokers, carriers, freight forwarders, consolidators, and so on, all of them providing their input in terms of what ACE should do and also serving as a feedback mechanism. We also have a great partnership with the private sector, the IT community. I mean, frankly, that's who builds our systems. That's who provides our technology solutions. The government is in a management role, is in a liaison role with our customers, and we really look to our private sector support companies, and certainly IBM is one of those as a prime on the ACE program. So that's key. We also are looking across DHS. Again, I mentioned the CIO Council. We're definitely trying to expand the way that we rely on the other components within DHS and the extent to which we're able to share capabilities and data with those other parts of DHS. And then finally, I should say we go beyond that, especially with the ACE program, across the federal government. As part of ACE, we have something called the International Trade Data System, or ITDS, which is really not a system. It's actually a forum for coordination with all of the federal agencies involved in international trade. And the key thing we're working there is to ensure we have a single standard requirement for cargo data to support everyone's needs, which in turn translates to the international trade community as they only have to deal with one requirement for data and, as we call it, one single window to the trade community in terms of how they provide that information.
Many of these partnerships changed after 2001 to balance between cargo security and cargo efficiency. Looking forward, how do you anticipate these partnerships to change over time?
Well, I think a lot of the partnerships that we had built prior to 9/11 really helped us when we moved into the post-9/11 era and our focus on terrorist weapons of mass destruction and border security. Frankly, a lot of things we did at the border with our container security initiative overseas, where we really place our CBP officers and targeting capabilities overseas by pushing the border back, the way in which we get electronic data now prior to departure to the United States, prior to loading, the trade community really stepped up as a partner with that security mission to help us do that. I should say an expansion of that, and I think going forward, and it's already started, it's really expanding around the world to the other foreign governments to really implement similar approaches to security. In fact, the World Customs Organization has taken a lead there with implementing a framework that really includes a lot of the same things we've talked about: advanced electronic data, targeting, and partnerships with the international trade community to really improve border security across the world, because that's really what it's all about.
One of the risks in partnerships and in information sharing is technology, information technology security. There's been a lot of things in the news recently with stolen laptop and identity theft. What does this mean to CBP, and how has your organization reacted to most recent events?
Well, again, CBP, because we've been a law enforcement mission and have had access to privacy and other sensitive information from the trade community, for example, for years, really going back to the early 1980s, and because we made that information available to a very large user population at the borders, at the ports of entry, we've always taken security very seriously. We have extremely capable IT security solutions in place in terms of access control, user authentication, monitoring of our systems and the user's use of those systems. So these more recent incidents really only emphasize to us how important it is to continue our security. One thing I say is in addition to those IT capabilities, we're also fortunate in that CBP in general takes security very seriously. We have a mandate for a very extensive background investigation clearance for all employees before they come on board. We also have very strong physical security requirements. And then finally, we have an annual IT security training and certification process. So each employee, all 43,000, must go through a training process and be certified every year. Rod, I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk a little bit about the IT Investment Board and capital planning at CBP. What criteria does the council currently use to evaluate the portfolio, and what changes have occurred with some of the recent large systems that CBP is implementing?
Well, I think a good thing that's changed is, and I think this typically happens, is the Clinger-Cohen passes. Everyone's mandated to implement capital investment management controls and planning, and there's a lot of procedures are created and people follow those procedures, and I think sometimes sort of miss the big picture. And I think we were certainly a part of that early on. There's a real focus on architecture compliance and that sort of thing. We've matured with the process, and we're still following procedures as required. But what's really improved with us is our investment review board. It's chaired by our deputy commissioner, includes its members, all of the assistant commissioners, the senior leadership team at CBP. And when we review investments at that investment review board, the primary focus is how does that investment support the CBP mission and how does it move our strategic goals forward, which I think we'd all agree is the real basis for investment management. The other really important thing is we've really tied the budget process in. After all, this is investment management. Frankly, in the past, our budget process was really separate. We sort of hoped the two came together. Well, now the two are really tied together. So when we review investments to ensure they meet our strategic needs, they comply with our IT strategies, we're also making our decision in terms of what the CBP budget is going to be. So I think that's what's really been key for improvements for us.
Great. What does the future hold for Customs and Border Protection? We will ask CIO Rod McDonald to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.